You please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. How do you feel about creepy, crawly things? Things that creep around. My wife can give me a laugh. That's good. How do you feel about creepy, crawly things? Things that creep around in the dark. I don't know. I'm just going to guess, but most of us aren't real comfortable with that. Spiders, mice, centipedes, which seem to populate almost every Twin Cities basement. You know, you turn on the light and they just go scurrying away. They're not things that you like to see or have. But thankfully, they don't like to be seen either, usually. You turn on a light and they scurry away. They shun being exposed because it exposes their mischief, like mice. A couple months ago, we had a mouse problem in our basement. I would go down to the basement, turn on the light, and sometimes see a little mouse scurry under a sofa or in the laundry room, and it was just so frustrating. So we'd put out traps. We caught a few mice, which catching a mouse in the trap was a little bittersweet because catching one made me still wonder if there were more elsewhere in the basement. Thankfully, the traps have been empty. So either they got really smart or it's a managed problem. But these creatures are creatures of the night. Again, they like to hide in darkness and shadow, and light exposes them. There are other creatures that we enjoy, probably feel more comfortable with, creatures of the day, ourselves being creatures of the day. We welcome when the sun comes up because it marks a new day. It marks, it gives us place to explore and things to create. So there are creatures that live for the night, and there's creatures that live for the day. Those that look ahead for what light exposes and makes manifest, and those that dwell in the shadows, like mice and centipedes and other things. Epiphany means manifestation, when something hidden or unknown is revealed. And for Christians, Epiphany is the manifestation of the glory of the Lord in Jesus Christ, especially his manifestation to the Magi, which we celebrate today on January 6th. The manifestation of God in Christ is good news to those who look for his coming, who await the coming of the Lord. It's good news who are welcoming and are delight in that manifestation of the mysteries of God. There are things that we are zealous to have revealed. I think of a time I took a road trip with some friends. It was kind of a trip where we would look at a point on a map. We went out to Montana, and we'd point on this map thinking we were real adventurous and say, we're going to go drive to that spot. Well, one evening, we pointed to a spot on the map, and we started driving. It started to get dark. The road went from blacktop to a dirt road to suddenly sort of a cow trail until we came to a part where we really couldn't go any further, and we had to say we couldn't see anything other than right in front of our headlights, and we were going up on an incline. We weren't really sure what the next step would bring us, so we just decided it was better for us to stop and wait what morning would reveal. So we slept that night. We woke up and found ourselves in a really beautiful valley with buttes around us and sort of foothills off ahead, and could see clearly that this path that we were following was just going to end maybe in a half mile or a quarter mile and just get worse and worse. It was good for us to wait and see what the day would make manifest, what mystery would be revealed, rather than just kind of trundling on with the small light that we could bring from our car. So it's good to have hidden things illumined and where we have more and more clarity to where we're going. But the manifestation of God in Christ also brings illumination to things that are hidden that we really desire in God's justice to make plain and manifest. His manifestation brings liberty and comfort to those who walk in darkness, who suffer under darkness and shadow. And so the light is a thing that gives us illumination and some wisdom, but it's also a light that brings things that were hidden and things that were done in the night, in the darkness, to light and brings God's justice. For some, that manifestation of God in Christ Jesus, especially in justice, inspires fear for what will be revealed. There are some who would prefer that hidden things remain hidden. It exposes their sins and their secrets. the actions or the realities that were otherwise obscured and hidden in darkness. Epiphany is sometimes thought of as just about the Magi. And we have a series of sermons, though, through the next few weeks of Epiphany in which we see other manifestations of God in Christ. Next week, in his baptism, as the Spirit descended upon him as a dove, and as the Father spoke this that to Jesus, "You are my Son, with you I am well pleased." We'll learn, too, of Jesus' visit to the synagogue in his home in Nazareth, where he read from the prophet Isaiah and said, "This is now fulfilled in your hearing." Or the way that his glory was manifested at the wedding at Cana in Galilee. So there is the Epiphany that we celebrate today on January 6th, the commemoration of the Magi which came to Jesus in Bethlehem. But there are other ways in which he was made manifest through Scripture in these stories. But today's gospel shows specifically that theme of manifestation of light and what it does and how there's a difference of response. Some responding to the light in a hidden and a secret way and some welcoming it. It's focused on light shining in the darkness. The Magi followed the light as the star in the heavens. The Son of God was made manifest to all peoples of the earth, with the Magi being representatives of all peoples. This heavenly light revealed a heavenly king, and they were earnest to seek him. They were faithful seekers coming to worship God. They followed that light, which attracted them, a beacon that they saw far off and that draw them nearer and nearer until they were in God's presence himself at the bedside of Jesus with Mary. Herod's response in our gospel reading is very different. And if you know a little bit about Herod, his paranoia has other history besides just this passage in Matthew. Herod's wickedness was no secret. He murdered his brother, his wife, his brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, two of his sons, and countless others. So he was a man of violence. And so his response in this, as he hears of Messiah, is not one of welcoming the Messiah, but one in which he begins to think about his own power and how it's under threat. The arrival of the Magi troubled him. To him, it was a political problem and not a theological reality or thing to be welcomed. And so he sent others to investigate, giving some space between himself and this news. The Magi sought the light, and Herod retreated from it. The Magi crossed great distances to see this newborn king, and yet Herod would not travel the 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see him himself, again asking them, "You go and seek and then come back and tell me." The heavenly revelation was good news to the Magi, these pious foreign rulers. They paid homage to him not as conquered enemies, but as willing worshipers. Meanwhile, for Herod, the local man of power, but a man of violence, this heavenly revelation could only mean his judgment. Again, he was one who desired for things hidden to remain hidden. So Jesus was heralded as a king by angels and shepherds and by foreigners like the Magi, while Herod and all of Jerusalem with him shuddered at this prospect, shuddered in dread at the coming of the newborn king. The Magi brought gifts that were suitable for a king to the son of a carpenter, or the child of a carpenter, while Herod plotted the death of this newborn child. So like the psalmist prayed, it's true that the oppressor fears the Lord when the sun and the moon endure, knowing that God's judgment is imminent. But the light of Christ was good news to those who, like the Magi, had sought the revelation of mysteries and looked forward to God revealing his truth and glory. And so they sought God's presence as a blessing. The epiphany of Jesus to the Magi represents a fulfillment of the good news that was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah, a prophecy that Gentile nations would join with the Israelites in the light of God's presence, and that these Gentile nations would bring gifts. They would bring themselves, but they would bring sacrifice to the Lord. The prophecy of Isaiah 60 is a beautiful and a joyful vision. It's great exultation in this joyful image of liberation of all the earth, not just God's people. Light shines upon God's people. Light liberates the earth from darkness. And the peoples will then gather to the light of those whom God has shone upon. God shines upon his people, and then his people, in a mysterious way, they themselves shine with his glory. Even when darkness covers the earth and all the peoples, the Lord arises upon his people, and his glory will be seen upon them and then emanate from them as though they themselves become beacons. This assembly of all God's people causes a great, ever more radiant glory. For as more and more gather, God's kingdom is made more and more clearly manifest. As Isaiah prophesied, in the midst of darkness, the glory of the Lord would shine upon his people, and they would shine with his glory. Kings and kingdoms would gather to God's light reflected by his people. The light of Christ shone first upon Mary as she bore Jesus, and then from all those who were drawn to his light. So that with the light of Christ within them, God's people would become beacons of his light to the world. The light of the Lord initiates a homecoming, a reunion of young and old, of people who are cast off and dispersed and far away. And under the light of God's presence, there is reconciliation of all these peoples. The nations named in Isaiah are more than just a representative diversity of Gentiles, meant to illustrate just that there are many different nations gathered together. But instead, Isaiah's prophecy depicts the coming of Christ as a reconciliation of estranged family members and rivals gathered to the light of God's glory. For each of the nations that are named in this passage in Isaiah has a significance and a significant relationship to Israel. While the Israelites were descendants of Shem, the son whom Noah had blessed, the people of Sheba were named, were descendants of Ham, the son which Noah had cursed. And likewise, Tarshish was a descendant of Japheth, the third of Noah's sons. As you remember, Shem, Ham, and Japheth went with Noah in the ark. And Midian and Ephah were sons of Abraham and one of his concubines. Abraham gave Isaac all that he had, and while he was living, he sent these sons of his concubines to the east, which is an interesting image. As the Magi come from the east bearing gifts, Abraham sent his sons to the east with gifts. And a beautiful image of how they seem to be returning and bringing homage to the Lord. Similarly, Kedar and Nabaoth were firstborn sons of Ishmael, Abraham's son by Hagar. And so these names are more than just representatives of diversity, but representatives of those who the Israelites knew and were well aware of, and yet there was a history between these peoples, and now they're all brought together in worship of the Lord, even bringing sacrifice to God's house. Together, descendants of Isaac and Ishmael, of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, would gather and worship and sacrifice together before the Lord. Their presence and their sacrifice would be beautiful and good in God's house. And the shining of God's light would become ever more radiant. It would reflect a return from exile and a gathering of God's people with reconciliation between those who had once been very bitterly divided and separated between brothers and sisters. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Jesus revealed a hidden mystery to the apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, these representatives, are fellow heirs with the Jews, the children of Ishmael and Ham and Japheth, would be members of the same body of Abraham's offspring and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. Being counted among God's people is not a matter of birthright according to lineage with Abraham, but a gift of God by grace through faith, not by birthright, but by adoption. So this is good news to all those who sought salvation in Jesus and who seek salvation in Jesus. The Magi from the East or centurions as part of the Roman occupation in the biblical times, and of course most of us who share no lineage with Abraham. Like Herod, some still retreat from the light of God's presence in this manifestation. Those who in pride have lost the fear of the Lord. Sometimes as Christians in certain settings, we worry about secularism or about atheists or those who reject the Lord in that way. But I think an equal, if not greater, issue is false piety. Those who believe that there's a God, but believe in a God who does not see or does not hear, does not execute justice, and is not true God. There is no fear of the Lord in that belief in the Lord. Because as we see in our Matthew passage, it was chief priests and scribes It was all of Jerusalem with him who were troubled by his coming. Those who worry about their righteousness before men instead of the fear of the Lord from whom no secrets are hid. And so even in our contemporary times, we see these sad and terrible things of cover-ups in the church, whether it's Protestant or Roman Catholic. Those things that are done to protect appearances, those that protect secret sins and keep things hidden which should be revealed. So the church should be a place that confesses its sins one to another, and one that is not just about keeping up appearances, but about being in the light of the Lord, even a light that shows great imperfection and the need for justice. For the Lord sees and hears. From him no secrets are hid. By his light he judges the people with equity and the poor with justice. But upon us the light of Christ has shone. His glory will be seen upon us, those who receive and seek his light with great joy. So like the Magi, we should seek the Lord earnestly and eagerly, and then be willing beacons of or lamps of his presence and his light. Are we ourselves dwelling in light, even if it's a light that shows, even especially if it's a light that shows the ways in which we must be sanctified in him? We should seek the way of righteousness that is revealed in the light of day, not recklessly going down obscure paths just by the small light that we can imagine of worldly wisdom. For you are the light of the world, therefore let your light shine before others in this dark place, so that others may see your good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That maybe they see the light by your presence, as you're with children, as we have a body that's blessed with young children who now see adults that welcome them and not see them as just those who need to keep quiet. What a good thing that so many of you are involved in ministering to children, and if not ministering, then just welcoming them by your smile and by your graciousness. Or the ways that we might be seen by our presence with those we love, with our spouse or with friends. We are people that can be deeply engaged with them and not people who retreat off into our own private space when things get difficult. And that we show the light to the world by our love, gladly sharing our inheritance in Christ with separated brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters who are perhaps natural relations, people that we might be estranged from in our own families, but especially across divisions that seem insurmountable in this world. For who is it, maybe even in this next week, asking who is the Ishmael that God will bring to into the fold that we must love, that God loves just as well as us? For we are fellow heirs and of the same body under the light of God's presence. So brothers and sisters, may your hearts thrill and exult in the light of the Lord. For from the north and the south and from the east and west, those who walk in the Lord shall come to him like the Magi, like the sons of Ishmael and Ham and Japheth, not as conquered enemies, but as willing worshipers bearing gifts. Let each of us walk in that light and glory in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.